This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Many economic development groups in Alabama consider infrastructure, such as roads, bridges, and railways, essential for spurring growth and jobs. But when it comes to assessments of the state's infrastructure, Alabama scores poorly. That's where we start the conversation in this morning's Magic City Marketplace. Joining me is the editor of the Birmingham Business Journal, Cindy Fisher Crawford. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Andrew.
Well, how does Alabama's infrastructure rate?
The state actually scored a C-minus overall in this annual report by the American Society of Civil Engineers. And it looks at 11 different areas of infrastructure. And most of our scores were D's. And most grades really weren't surprising. We got a D-plus for roads and inland waterways. And we got a D for public transportation, which I would say is actually very generous.
Well, you note a difference between infrastructure that's publicly funded and infrastructure coming from the private sector.
Yeah, the best scores that we got were in areas like energy and rail, where private companies are taking on the financial burden. You know, an example would be Alabama Power that's investing in this six-year renewable energy project. You start to see the low scores in the areas where the state, which is always strapped for cash, and then when they're responsible for paying for it.
Well, for those who want to see investment in infrastructure, what are they doing?
Well, the neat thing is the business community that worries about our ability to lure companies here has formed a grassroots advocacy group called Alliance for Alabama's Infrastructure, and they plan to promote ways to direct investment to the state's roads. In this group are the chambers of commerce, economic development agencies, construction groups that obviously would want to, you know, build the roads. If they could actually make it happen, it could be a win-win.
Also, construction on a couple of high-profile highway projects around Birmingham continues while groups opposed to the efforts fight it out in court. We had two legal developments last week. And first, Cindy, we had a ruling last week regarding the Northern Belt Line. This is the interstate bypass which would stretch across the northern half of Jefferson County. What happened there?
The biggest legal problem is the fight over the environmental impact the construction will do in the area. A federal court actually last week ruled in favor of the project that economic developers say will create thousands of jobs and pump billions of dollars in the state's economy. So construction is moving forward, but there could be more legal battles.
Well, the other case involves a lawsuit over the Interstate 2059 expansion project through downtown Birmingham. Some city and community leaders want to block it. State and federal transportation officials, though, responded to the lawsuit. And what did they say?
A group of business leaders and citizens filed a lawsuit against LDOT and the Federal Highway Administration, saying that they didn't conduct an adequate impact study. But LDOT and the Highway Administration responded recently, saying the community had plenty of time to voice their opinion during the planning process, and they just didn't. So small construction elements have begun on replacing the bridges. But, you know, I'd expect this one to stall even more with more court battles.
Well, finally, the Securities and Exchange Commission has charged 11 executives and board members from the failed Superior Bank with fraud. What are these charges about?
Well, these are some major charges that say that during the recession, these executives and leaders overstated the bank's net income in public filings and intentionally failed to report bad loans so the quarterly reports would make the bank look better to investors, even though the bank was actually headed toward failure, which ultimately happened in 2011. Now, 9 of the 11 have settled with the SEC and are paying fees, somewhere between $250,000 to $100,000. There are some who question whether those settlement amounts are really that much of a punishment, considering many of those charged are millionaires.
So what happens from here?
Two of those charged are contesting the charges, so that issue will continue. There's also the possibility the FDIC is investigating and could have other punishments to come. But mostly it has many wondering why it took so long to catch this fraud and whether there are more fraud charges at other failed banks to come.
Cindy Fisher Crawford is the editor of the Birmingham Business Journal. Cindy, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.